Come on, has God been good to anybody? I said, has God been good to anybody? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we just worship you. We honor you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, you just have free access to everything that we're doing this morning. You're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And what that means is he won't take them away. Come on. So if you were called, you are called. Come on, come on. If you were called, then you are called. And life might have gotten in the way of that. And you think, well, many years have gone by. That might have been for me when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s. No. If you were called, then you are called. Come on. And if God has a plan for your life, he's got a plan for your life. There was a day when I was meditating on some things and the Lord just kind of spoke this to my heart. When I say that, these thoughts, and I believe they were from God, came up out of my heart into my mind that said this. It said, did you know that I called you? Yeah. Did you know that I knew you'd be here right now as I'm talking to you? I said, yeah. He said, do you think that I knew that you'd be here and you'd have made all the mistakes that you made in your life up to this point and I still called you? And what he was saying to me is, it's not too late to fulfill everything that I've called you to because I knew you'd be here. Whoo, isn't that good? Isn't that good? I mean, I know that some of us have done things that we probably shouldn't have done and some things we should have done, we haven't done. Anybody in that boat besides me? Come on. All of us are in that boat. But God is still at work in you. God is still working through you. Glory to God. Glory to God. While we're worshiping, let's turn to Psalms 19 and we'll get to where I'm going eventually. But when we were worshiping, I was looking at a few of the kids. And I'm not going to name them necessarily, but there was a few that just popped out at me. And I said, that one's called. That one's called. That one's called. And the calling that they have is inside of them. And it's not for me to dictate or try to bring them to a calling that I think they have, right? But I know that some of them are called into ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about renewing our minds and renewing our minds of the verse that we did. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've talked this month about transformation is not an event. It's a process. Right? You don't get there overnight, right? Hallelujah. It's a process. But in the process of time, everybody say time. Don't you wish it would just happen immediately? Bless God. If I'm ornery, I wish I would just quit being ornery right now. If I got anger, I wish I'd just quit anger right now. Or if I got worry, if I'm a worrier, I wish that would just happen right now. Right? Come on. Somebody lay hands on me and get this out of me. And sometimes if it is a demon that's driving it, you can do that. Right? But oftentimes it's a process and it's the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. And again, the renewing of the mind, I just equate it to this. You got an old buckskin and they rub things into that buckskin to make it soft. Whether it's oil or some other things I'm going to mention, but they rub it in until it becomes tender and soft and wearable. And sometimes the oil of the Holy Spirit, watch this, wants to take the word that you've heard and keep rubbing it and rubbing it and rubbing it and rubbing it in until your heart becomes soft to it so that you can hear what he's saying, right? So it's really good. It's awesome. It's so good. But in Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Watch this again. We're talking about renewing our minds. And last week we started on Christian meditation. This is part two. Great title. Christian meditation, part two. But we're talking about meditating. But listen to what he says here. Let the words of my mouth, That's enough. We could ponder that for all month, right? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. How many have ever guarded your tongue or did a score tally of which words have I said today would be pleasing to God and which word wouldn't be? And when we say that, we go, yeah, you know, I haven't cussed today, right? I haven't said this today. I haven't used the Lord's name in vain. But James said, watch this, James said that how can you praise God with one side of your mouth and on the other side downgrade people who are created by God? So it's kind of like, what are my words saying? And so it's important that we watch those. And then it says, and the meditation of my heart. That's an interesting phrase. Be acceptable to you. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Meditation, what do you mean? What am I thinking about? What am I saying to myself? What am I pondering on? See, because all of us meditate. Did you know that? We spoke that last week. But all of us meditate. You're thinking about something all the time. It's impossible for you not to think. And women, it's double impossible. Right? Men, we have a nothing box we can go to, but we're still thinking about nothing. But watch this. Watch this. We're always thinking about something, but what are we thinking about? And do we have control over what we're thinking?
Yes.
Right? But how many know that we allow our thinking to go down paths that they shouldn't go down because that thinking is not acceptable to the Lord? Right? And so our goal is, Lord, help me with this because I can't do it on my own, Lord. I mean, my thoughts go someplace and how many know what a trigger is? You ever have a trigger where you know, something happens and it just takes you back to a place? Or maybe a thought pattern, and you just immediately either get really happy or really anger or really, you know. But you know that you're in control of that trigger. That trigger is not in control of you unless you allow it to be. Which is great news, but it's also kind of a bummer. What does that mean? I can't blame my past and dictate my future on what somebody else did, said, or I can control my thinking. And the way that I want to control my thinking is to bring it in line with what God has said. Are you? Meditation. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's look at one more. We're going to look at several today, but go to back to chapter or the fifth psalm. They're really not chapters, they're individual psalms. But in Psalms chapter 5, and listen to this. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. It's saying the same thing, but just in a little bit different way. Just a little bit different way. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. It's so cool. Give heed to I'm going to go a little ways. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation, and give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you I will pray. My voice you will hear in the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. We need to, in the morning, be thinking about God. In the morning, we need to be talking about God. And more importantly, we need to let God talk to us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal God to us. And He's living in us if Jesus is Lord of our lives. But we have to give heed to it. I said, we have to think on purpose what God is saying. Right? And you say, and I'm not talking necessarily about, oh God, I need to hear this word today about what shirt I should wear, or, I mean, he could tell you, or what pants, or what doesn't go with, but God uses Renita for that with me, but the reality is, watch this, the reality is, if he's with us, and if he listens, if he's really in us, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it's stupid with a capital S not to take advantage. Right? And taking advantage is, I have to have a guard on my mind and my heart, and I have to take the Word of God and make that absolute control in my life. Now, watch this. It's really interesting. We said this last week, but I'm going to go over it again. To meditate means to ponder. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And Renita and I will ask ourselves, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And because we're always thinking. And oftentimes, well, nothing. I mean, nothing. It's just a myriad of different thoughts. But you can watch somebody and say, you know, what's going on? What are you thinking about? What's on your heart? What's in your mind? You see, and if something is bothering you, you're thinking about it a lot. If you have trauma in your life, if you've had an event in your life, you know, the passing of a loved one or whatever it is, there's trauma, or maybe you're sick, maybe there's, you know, you need healing in your body, and you're thinking about that. You're pondering that all the time. And in pondering, you go, what can I do? What should I do? What can I, you know, how am I going to get out of this? Whatever. You're pondering, you're thinking about it. That's meditating. Watch. And another word is, I love this, musing. Isn't that a great word? Musing. Musing. It means deep thought. You're really putting some thought into it. Men aren't that deep. You ladies know more about musing than men do. Not really true, but you're more given to it than we are. But watch this. Deep thought. It means I'm thinking about it. I'm going deep. The why, the when, the how, the what. You know, I'm really into it. That's meditating when you're going over and over and over and over in this. And I'll tell you, just for me personally, when I get into this a lot, as some of you guys will probably understand, if I have a project, like I'm going to build something, or, you know, that I've got this thought, I'm going to build this shed, or I've got this thought, I'm going to build, you know, cabinets, or I'm going to build something, man, I'm thinking about how can I do it? I need this lumber, I need that lumber, I need that lumber, and I could do it this way, or I could do it that way, or I could do it this way. And if I'm given, I'm going, okay, now what about this, and what about that? I've got to remember that, I've got to remember that. I'm putting deep thought into what I'm got my attention on. We're talking about meditating, right? Meditating. Another word is, and we talked about this, imagine. What do you see in your thoughts? I'll just give you an example of that. Everybody close your eyes. Dog. What did you see? Some of us saw the dog that we have back at our house. But I guarantee you, none of you saw DOG. Let me give you another one. Big dog. Picture it. Big dog. Here's another one. Big dog with its fangs out. See, you're seeing something in your mind because you're meditating. That's meditating. That's meditating. And we're talking about Christian meditation. We're talking about thinking God's thoughts until we can see it. Thinking God's thought, or putting God's word into us until we can see it. And when you can see it, it takes over part of your body. It takes over part of your emotions. It takes over, you know, if you could really see it. And sometimes empathy is with that and sympathy is with that, like that. It's like, wait a minute, I'm feeling what they're feeling. See, meditation can get us to the place where God's heart becomes our heart because we're empathetic with it. And oftentimes, in the renewing of our mind, because we want the process to be, this is where I am, I know this is where God wants me to be, so I want to get there. And we know that that's God's will for us to get there in the end, but we can't see ourselves there because of our past, because of our lack of education, because what others have told us about ourselves, whatever. We're there, and God wants us here, and yet I can't see myself there. Well, you're going to have to meditate on what God has told you in His Word until you can see it. Because the minute that you can see it, you'll do it. But until you can see it be in your reality, you'll never get to the end. Let me just give you an example of that. If you've always felt like that you were less than, and if there was a crowd of people, you stood in the back because you knew you weren't as good as the crowd up front. Have you ever felt like that? I have. I mean, I just tell you, I have. And it's like, well, you know, in high school, it's like you had the jocks and you had the cheerleaders and you had some of those people and you thought, well, you know, I can never get there, right? Because that's how you view yourself. But if you'll change, see, God will put favor inside of you where you'll be at home with people that you weren't at home with. I'll just give you an example. I've always felt that, and we go to a retreat every year, and it happened to be this last Monday and Tuesday. It was in Vancouver, and there's a group of ministers that we go with. For years and years and years, it's like I'd go, and it was good, and I enjoyed it, but I always felt like I'm at the table with the nobodies, right? But I've been pondering the Word of God. I've been meditating on the Word of God. And there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 3, and it talks about writing the Word of God on the tablet of your heart and doing it. And then it goes on to this, and God will give you favor with God and with man. I've meditated on that for, listen, probably 35 years. But now I see myself in a position that my relationship with God causes me to have favor with man. And this last retreat, I was asked to speak. I've never been asked to speak before. And that was awesome. And then I was, you know, it's like the leaders, Renee and I were calling them, they came to our table. See, the meditation of my heart took me from not to favor with God, which gives me influence with different people. Did you see what I'm saying? So it's what am I thinking? If I continue to think that I'm nobody and that I can never do anything for God because of who I am, and I don't see myself in Christ, and begin to meditate on that, begin thinking about that, begin absolutely on purpose putting that into my heart, I'll stay where I am. Right? None of us are worthless. None of us are less than. Because the same blood that saved us was shed by Jesus for each one of us the same. If I am truly the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which I am, then how much more righteous can I get? How much more righteous can you get? You can't get more righteous, but here's what you can do. You can let the meditation of your heart bring you to the place that you will act righteous. David said it this way. He said, Lord, I'm going to hide your word in my heart. What's that? That's meditating on it. That's thinking on it. What's the result of it? That I might not sin against you. See, meditation. What are you thinking about? Do you ever think about the word of God throughout your day? Do you? Or is it just on Sunday? Right? It's like, I need to take the Word of God. And watch this. This is so cool. How many like to have a relationship with the Lord? Amen. How many want to know Him better? Amen. The Holy Spirit is revealing the Word to you. And I just want to tell you that this is not just a literary work here that's put down on paper written by men. This is the holy written Word of God that was written or penned by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is a living Word. It's sharp. Come on. It's penetrating. But it's alive. That's why you can take a verse and meditate on it over and over and over again. And then the author of the Word will put into your heart thoughts that you go, wow, I never saw that before. But he's not going to be able to do that unless you're on purpose spending time in it and thinking about it. I'll be honest with you, there's some portions of the Scripture that I've got, I don't have a clue what that's saying. Lord, that doesn't make sense to me. She wanted to be in the room with me, I just know it. But Lord, I'm going to ponder that. I'm going to think about that. Holy Spirit, I want to give you an opportunity to speak to me because you know what you're saying here. And as I ponder it, as I roll it over in my mind, as I think deeply about it, as I begin to imagine it in my heart, God begins to reveal Himself to me. I'm certain that everybody in the room has read, if not all the gospel, at least a little of the red. Right? But if you ever put yourself in it, have you ever meditated on it, thinking, what would it have been like when Jesus brought the boy with five loaves and he had thousands of people on this grassy hill, and it was hot, it was dry, it was the Middle East, and they didn't have anything to eat. They'd been there for 2 or 3 days and they didn't have anything to eat. Think about that. And the disciples said, man, you need to let these people go so that they can eat. Tell them to go to the village. He said, no, you feed them. Huh? No, think about that. You're the one coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, man, they haven't eaten. Your teaching has been great. This has been the best seminar of our lives. We're really enjoying it. But man, these people are starving. And he says, well, that's no problem. You feed them. See, but you start putting yourself in there and you go, me feed them. Well, Lord, all we have is this. And he says, well, pass that out. And you start passing it out. And then you give away one basket, but the basket fills back up. And you give it again, and you give it again, and you give it again. Whoa. God is using me to feed people. Watch this. Yes, amen. That is exactly what God wants to put in your heart. That at His Word, you can do what's not possible for you to do. But it's thinking and meditating and putting yourself in the position rather than just reading. Well, that's a good story. I read that. I've gotten through, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Awesome. But how much of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John got into you? How do you know if it's gotten into you? Because it'll make a difference in how you walk, how you talk, how you look at people. So what I'm saying is Christian meditation, pondering, muttering, right? And another word is utter. What does that mean? I'm talking to myself all the time. I'm just talking to myself all the time. When I feel like it's impossible, all things are possible to those who believe. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, show me where unbelief is working in me. But Lord, I know that you put this on my heart. We can do this. We can do this. If you've been a negative Nelly all your life, how could we do that? I'm sure there were a couple of disciples that were, huh? But God got them out of that by showing them and giving them a picture of, it's not impossible. You can do it with God on your side. And the same is true for all of us. So Christian meditation, putting it into our heart, it's a discipline, but it's the absolute, I think, it's one of the best disciplines for getting Christ and the Word of God in you. And it will cause the most growth in your life. If you don't want to be the same this year as you were last year, and that's been the theme of this whole year, it's been good. I've seen change in you. I've seen change in us. I've seen change as the body. Because on purpose, we're thinking about and talking about and meditating on what God wants us to do. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And so watch this. If you want unity, you have to get people thinking or meditating on the same thing. You know, and if they begin to do that, it's powerful. But we need to begin to meditate. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Y'all getting anything?
Yes.
Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is in the middle of the book, and it's the longest. And here's what's really cool about Psalm 119. Every line has God's word in it. It's talking about God's word. You hold in your hand the most valuable thing the earth has to offer. Let me say that again. You hold in your hand right there, whether it's on your tablet or whether you're watching the screen, whatever. You hold with that book at home that, you know, it is the most valuable thing that you have. I have lots of books in libraries, given way more books than I've gotten in, but this is the most valuable. And so this is where we need to be feeding and thinking on. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Jesus made statements like, unless you eat my body, right? Come on, eat my word. You know, it's like, how is that possible? Because the word's alive. And we eat it by meditating on it. Okay, verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. How many of you have an enemy that comes at you with thoughts that are contrary to you? And how do you know if my thought is of the devil or is of God? Well, if it's killing, stealing, or destroying, it's of the devil. But if it's trying to give you life, it's of God. Now, I'm not saying that God's always going to go, oh, you're so great and wonderful and you're just so peachy. Sometimes he's going to say, you're out of line, stop it, start doing this. Oh, I love that. Because he said, you know, the children that he loves, he disciplines. Right? But meditating on his word, watch this. Meditating on your statutes. Lord, I'm thinking about them. I'm saying them. I'm talking about them. I'm imagining them. Right? So good. Verse 27 says this. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. How many want to know what God is saying in the word that you're reading? Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I'm thinking about this all day long. I'm just going over and over and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. See, we need to take the Word of God. And I'm not saying that you have to know or memorizing is good and all of that. That's great. But meditating is a different level. Meditating is, Lord, I'm thinking about this. I know there's more in it. I just want to know what you mean. And if you do that, God will begin to multiply it back to you. Watch this. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. What does your word say? Help me to understand it. And when I understand it, Lord, I want to put it in action. I want to make it work. I don't want it just to be rules and regulation, but I want to make it work. So I'm pondering, I'm thinking about, Holy Spirit, help me. And He does. I said He does. Verse 48, it says, my hands also will I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Thinking about Jesus, meditating on Him, putting that picture of His word in your mind and having that as a focal point. How many get distracted? Anybody in here get distracted? Life's distracting, right? Pain is distracting. You know, drivers are distracting. I mean, you know, so on. Bills are distracting. How do I stay focused? It's by meditating in the Word. I've used this example before, but I've got the mic, so I'm going to do it again. Saw this movie. Great. I don't even remember anything about the movie. All I remember is this guy was going on a blind date. Picture this. It's in New York, so they're walking. And the blind date says, listen, I've just got to stop off at my friend's house for a minute, and then we'll go to dinner or lunch or whatever they're going. And so they get up on the stoop and walk into the room, and they get into the middle of the living room. And here's this woman in one of those kiddie pools filled with water birthing a baby. This guy doesn't know the lady he's with. He certainly doesn't know this lady. But he's walking across the living room, and she says, stop! Well, there she is, giving birth, and he's there going. And she says, what happened? If you know in the birthing classes that you take, you need to have a focal point. And you need to concentrate on that focal point. And you need to see, I believe that meditation allows us to keep the focal point on the Word of God. So when the distractions are coming, the pain is coming, the baby is about to be birthed, we can have a word that God will keep on our hearts. I don't think we should leave the house in the morning without a focal point. I think we ought to read the Word every day before we leave the house, and it doesn't have to be an hour. But Lord, just give me one verse here, and that's going to be my focal point today. I'm going to think about that on purpose today. I'm going to meditate on it, and when I start to get off, Lord, I'm going to go back to that focal point and make that a place that I can come to. That's good. 52 says this. I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself. That's not the one I wanted. It's okay. Sorry, go to 117. Let's see what that says. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. That word observe is the same word as meditate. I'll think about, I'll ponder, I'll think deeply on what your word says. Okay, go to 145:5. 145, Psalm 145, and verse 5. Watch this. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Do you ever sit and think of how good God is? We sing about it, but do we really think about it? There's a verse of Scripture, and if you've heard me preach it all, I refer to it a lot because it's one of those that my mind just goes, pshh. It says, because of the blood of Jesus, that I can come boldly before His throne of grace to find help in my time of need. Think about His throne. Have you ever thought about the throne room of God? Have you ever thought of how majestic it is? How glorious it is? Because anything that you've seen depicted in movies or whatever, or a history book in this earth, has nothing on what God's glorious throne room is. And I think about myself when I'm on my knees and say, God, I need some help here. I begin to imagine that He's on that throne. And watch this. He told me to come boldly before it. Bold. How could I come boldly before it? Well, I'll just tell you. This has happened with my grandkids, my kids at one time or another, and other people's kids. I'll be up here preaching, and I've been preaching since my kids were, you know, before they were born, really. But they'll come to 2 or 3 years old, and they come running in, and somebody will let the hand slip. And they'll run up to the front, because that's where Daddy, that's where Bampa is. And they run up to the front, and I've had other kids too come up, and you know what I do? I'll say, ushers, get that kid and get him out of here. No, I just pick them up, put them right here, and keep preaching. Why? Because they belong right here. They belong right here. So when I say, come boldly, they can come boldly because they know they're not going to be turned away. Think about that. Put it into your heart. Come boldly before the throne of grace. I will meditate on your glorious splendor. You love me. I really am accepted by you. I really do have your favor. I really do. And I can't think about it enough because it's bigger than what I thought before. Are you meditating? I'm thinking about your glorious splendor, your majesty. But not just when I'm in praise and worship. When I don't know what to do, when I'm in the midst of a crisis, when people are calling and they've got a problem and I don't know the answer to. Lord, I'm just coming before your glorious throne right now. Because you're with me, you're for me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I on purpose start meditating on who He is so that I'm not overwhelmed with what I'm facing. See, Christian meditation, it's powerful, it's necessary, and you're always meditating on something, but we need to meditate on purpose on His Word. That's so good, just so good. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. How many have ever used this? You're going through something, and it's hard, it's a hard place. But I guarantee if you'll go back and you'll think, wait a minute. I faced something similar 20 years ago. And I talked to God and I sought God and God spoke to me. And because He spoke to me, He delivered me. And if God did it then, He's no different. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. The Israelites were commanded to tell their children and their children's children and their children's children about the Red Sea parting, about the plagues in Egypt, about the going into the promised land over and over again. Why? Because God wanted them to know that if He did it then, He'll do it now. So when I meditate on your wondrous works, I'm bringing all of God's majesty into my present because He's with me. And He's for me. Is that good? That's so good. So good. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And many of you already know what I'm going to say, but or at least what I'm going to quote. But listen very carefully because this is so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. I'm walking in the flesh, but that doesn't define my whole existence. In other words, if I slip and fall, it hurts, right? If I hit my funny bone, it's not funny. You know, I've got flesh and bone, and it works, but that's not the only part of me. Though I walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this. This is so good. Many times we equate strongholds with demons. But listen to me, listen. Strongholds aren't demons. Strongholds are where demons are hiding. Remember David when he was fleeing from Saul? They went into a cave. That cave was the stronghold. It housed them, right? So I'm casting down not just demons, but the place demons live. And the place demons live are in your thoughts. I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm just saying the demons have access to our thoughts unless we do the warfare. And the warfare is, I'm not going to think that way because that's not in line with God's word. And so I'm going to take God's word and make that my stronghold. And how do I do that? By hiding his word in my heart. And I do that by meditating, by thinking about it on purpose, thinking about his word. Thinking about his word. One of the reasons that we do this, and it's really funny, I was over helping John the other day in their bedroom, in their bathroom, and on Donnie does it, on the mirror in their bathroom, she has these cards placed in it. So there's months of these cards around her mirror. Why? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and what perfect will of God. She takes that and thinks about that. And so later, that comes back to her because she put it in there in the first place. So that's why we do these things. That's why we say these things. That's why we ask you to take these. So that you can be thinking on them, that this can be a focal point. When the enemy comes and he's trying to birth his plan and trying to get you to where this is useless, this is hopeless, they'll never change, you can go, he said. He said. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. What are you meditating on? What are your thoughts? If you need to change your thoughts, it won't be automatic. You have to renew your mind with the Word of God. Because you will always go back to the default. You'll always go back to the default. I'm not good enough. I disqualified myself by my past. I mean, I might have been able to have been used by God, but you don't understand. I was a drug addict. I was, let me tell you about this man. And it's kind of funny. Because when you see people through the transformation, you don't even imagine that they could be the way they were. This man, a wonderful man of God. He knows more Greek and read. He can read the New Testament in Greek. I mean, he's just studied it. And a wonderful, awesome pastor. He gave his testimony one day. They said, oh yeah, in the world, I was a drug addict, I was a dealer, and I was a pimp. My pastor, the pimp. No. Watch this. That's who he was. Do you understand? That was his identity. But he took the word of God. That man is dead. That man was crucified. But sometimes that will try to come back, but you have to come against that because you don't want that to have a stronghold in your life anyway. It can't live with you anymore. And you take the word of God and you plant it inside of you so that immediately the thought comes. You go, I don't think so. I don't even recognize that. I don't even know who it was. There was one week I was, I don't know, I was saying something, but I started to talk about my past a little bit up on the service. It was so cute. You know, I talked about, you know, drugs and you know, selling drugs and doing different things. And Missy was there. She went, because she's only seen me transformed. She didn't see me in my past. But many of us view ourselves in our past, and we have not been transformed, so we're not as usable to God as He wants us to be. How can I go witness to that person? How can I go witness to anybody? Who am I? Well, let me tell you, you're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. So if He's asking you or nudging you or pushing you just a little bit to go say something, you have to go back to the focal point. I've got to close, but listen, again, I'm just talking about me. I got saved in 1977. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost 2 minutes after I was saved. Because I got saved, I gave my heart, and the guy that led me to the Lord said, you want all God has for you? And like I said on Monday, I said, me and my friends, some of you will get this, some, Wayne will explain it to you later. But I said, we weren't bring a six-pack type of guys. We're bring a case type of guys. and so you want all, yes, I want all God's got for me. Right? And so he said, well, I'm not really good at this. My wife's better at this. So she came and prayed for me. And again, no theological, no books, nothing. She said, well, just raise your hands to the Lord. Okay. I don't know what that meant. I just did what she said. She said, just saying hallelujah. Okay, I can say that. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And she said, your tongue is going to get thick. And you're going to start speaking words, and they're going to be like baby words. And so, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost in that instance. I began reading the Word of God. And 3 months after I got saved, 3 months, get this, 3 months, the fellow that I was involved with, and he was leading Bible studies everywhere, he said, well, next Wednesday, you're teaching. I said, I'm teaching? How could I teach? I don't even know where the books of the Bible are. If you said Colossians, I'd go to the index of the book to find Colossians to get to Colossians. I didn't know the Word of God at all, but I'd read. I'd read. Don't worry about what you're going to say in that self-same hour. So rather than my thoughts of I can't, I began thinking on that verse. Yeah. He'll give me the words to speak. Right. And again, I'm not saying that this is a good practice, but this was my practice. I went to the house and several times over the next year to people's houses, and I'd sit in their driveway. And I'd pray in the Holy Ghost for about 15 minutes. I'd use my prayer language, trusting that the God who said, don't worry about what you're going to say, would be with me when I went into the room. I'd go in there and I just had a New Testament, big Dakes New Testament. And I went in there, and this is literally what I did. We'd sing a few songs, maybe testimonies, whatever. It'd be my turn to teach. I'd flop that thing open. I'd say, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'd never read Romans chapter 5 in my life. And again, this is not what I do now. But I trusted what he said and made that my focal point so that I began to read chapter 5, made a few comments on it. And do you know that people got saved? People got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were blessed, not because of me, but the Holy Spirit who's with me. So here's what I'm saying. as we meditate on the things of God. And if you're going through something, you should get in the Word of God. You know, just get a concordance. And these phones are incredible. You just have to type in the search thing, hit the button, and it'll, you know, fear. It'll spit out a bunch of scriptures. And begin to go over those until there's a verse that really starts speaking to you. Make that your focal point. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said, fear not, for I'm with thee. Right? And you begin to think and meditate on that. And that'll get you from what you're going through to where he wants you to be. Anybody get anything this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning. Every one of us are somewhere, and we've got to get somewhere. We're all in different circumstances, Lord, but you're with all of us. And so I'm asking you this morning, Lord, to help each one of us put your word into action by showing us a verse. Holy Spirit, lead us and direct us so that we can get where we are right now, through what we're going through, to where you want us to be. You said you'd keep us in perfect peace if our minds were stayed on you. And Lord, I just trust that. I trust that you're with me. I trust that you're with me. He wants you to be blessed today. He wants you to be filled today. He wants that anxiety gone. He wants that dread that you have in your heart of going home, going to work, seeing somebody. He wants that completely gone out of you this morning. And I just feel that strong. If there's a dread in you about being someplace, God's telling you you can be released from that by putting Him with you in that place. Come on, just God. If you're with me, I can face that boss. If you're with me, I can face those kids. If you're with me, I can face that friend. If you're with me, I can face that enemy. If you're with me, God, and you are. So I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. He'll keep you in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on Him this morning, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for all those that have been watching online. Thank you so much for joining us. Put into practice what I've talked about. Get a verse and start standing on it, or a series of verses, and just begin to meditate them. Wash them over and over and over in your heart and your mind, and it'll transform you. Give it time. Give it space. Do it on purpose. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. If you don't know Jesus, easy. Say, confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says you'll be saved. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything, give us a call. We'd love to pray for you.